Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, July 1st, 2010. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, Whitman County Sheriff forwards felony charges against boyfriend of girl found nearly dead on a road near Albion last year. Some Idaho Republican legislators will not sign so-called party loyalty oath. Fish and Game holds public meeting in Orofino to explain Dworshak nutrient addition. And a hung jury in the case of a Seattle area sheriff deputy who beat a 15-year-old girl in a holding cell. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the studios of KRFP in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Whitman County Sheriff's Department has forwarded Class C felony charges of failure to report an accident against 24-year-old Richard Pasma in connection with the case of 23-year-old Kristen Grindley, who was found nearly dead lying in Highway 27 near Albion in November. Grindley, who was a Washington State University student at the time, has been recovering on the west side of the state after spending several months seriously injured at Sacred Heart Medical Center in Spokane. Sheriff Brett Myers was quoted in the Daily News Online Edition saying, "We feel as though with the information we have, there is a crime and that this is the appropriate charge. In this particular case, we don't necessarily have evidence to suggest that there was intent. We do believe that he was aware." KXLY News has reported that investigation files say Pasma's roommate reported that Pasma had said several times his greatest fear was that Grindley would get in the bed of his pickup truck while he was driving. Pasma told investigators that he was driving around that night and even saw emergency lights, but figured it was a car crash. He said he became concerned when Grindley did not call later. A broken water main last night or early this morning has caused hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage at the Albertsons building on the University of Idaho campus. The building houses the UI's College of Business and Economics. Nancy Spink of the UI's Office of Risk Management says there will be an investigation into the cause of the water main break. She said cleanup will likely take 2 weeks, and during that time, the building will be closed. The Nez Perce County Sheriff's Department, Nez Perce County Coroner Gary Gilliam, and the Federal Occupational Safety and Hazard Administration are investigating the death last night of a Clearwater Paper employee who died on the job. It is unknown if John A. Burgeon III died due to an industrial accident, a medical condition, or a combination of the two. KLEW-TV reports Burgeon apparently fell and hit his head on a conveyor belt on the number 2 paperboard machine that dumped him into a 1,500-gallon pulp vat. Clearwater Paper spokesperson Matt Van Vliet said, "We want to do a thorough investigation, so there's no speculation. This is very, very tough for us at Clearwater Paper. Our sympathy and concerns are first with the family and our employees." Van Vliet said there was no fire or explosion last night, and the last on-job death before this one at a Clearwater Paper facility was in 2000 at the mill on the Clearwater River. Kootenai County Sheriff Captain Ben Wolfinger has identified the 74-year-old man who died in an ATV accident at 4th of July Pass parking area Tuesday as Cleo B. Bud Dodge. Wolfinger says Dodge died of a severe chest injury as he tried to drive around a Forest Service gate, but hit a post instead. He said dust from the previous ATV ahead of Dodge and the speed at which Dodge was traveling contributed to the accident. Some Republican Idaho lawmakers say they won't fill out a party disclosure form that some call a party loyalty oath. Last Saturday at the state Republican convention, Senate Majority Leader Rod Beck spearheaded a resolution asking all Republican candidates to sign a pledge saying they support the party's platform or list the things they disagree with. Senator Joe Stegner of Lewiston and Senator Maxine Bell of Jerome are two Republicans who won't comply. The two say the disclosure request will be used to narrow the party's base rather than to promote healthy debate. Stegner told the Associated Press, "It seems to be directed at purifying the party. It smacks of some rather heavy-handed party membership requirements that I think in the last century have certainly been abused in any number of nations, and I don't think that's the direction America should be going." Stegner said the resolution is aimed at enforcing rigid party doctrine rather than embracing constituent interests, which vary by geographical region. Representative Carlos Bilbao of Emmett says he's not sure whether he'll go along with the request, but he says he has heard of five or six state Republican lawmakers who won't go along with it. The so-called loyalty oath question comes at a time when Idaho Republicans have moved even farther to the right in the party's platforms. At last weekend's convention, Republican delegates voted to recommend changing the Constitution to give the state the right to seize ownership of national forests and BLM land within the state, voted to oppose Republican U.S. Senator Mike Simpson's Boulder White Cloud Wilderness Bill, now before Congress, and endorsed a resolution offered by Ada County Delegate Lucas Baumbach calling for Idaho inmates to pay for their room and board through hard labor. Although Idaho already has a law and a constitutional amendment that defines marriage as between one man and a woman, the Republican convention Saturday passed a platform plank calling for legislation to further define marriage in Idaho as between a naturally born man and a woman. The additional two words are intended to exclude transgender people from any sort of legally recognized marriage in the state of Idaho. Although the items passed due to an influx of Tea Party delegates from every region in the state, there was quite a bit of dissent on most of them. Senate Majority Leader Bart Davis of Idaho Falls opposed the resolution to force inmates into hard labor, saying it would impede the Idaho Department of Corrections' efforts to treat drug and alcohol addiction. A resolution to forbid the state from taking away the charter of charter schools due to financial problems was successfully stopped by a campaign by State Superintendent of Public Instruction, and a resolution calling for the creation of an Idaho militia independent from the federal government also failed. Idaho is not the first state where Republicans are demanding more party loyalty. Georgia Republicans this year prevented candidate for Governor Rob Boyd from appearing on the ballot because he did not fully support the party platform. In Idaho, candidates would not be removed from the ballot if they don't sign the disclosure form, but Senate Majority Leader Beck said it might be a reason to find Republicans to challenge elected officials in primaries. Beck said, if some candidate signs the document, then gets elected, and then there's three or four issues or more where they completely ignore the platform, that would give somebody the basis to run against them. It's really for primary voters. Primary voters are typically the more active voters, and they are the voters that probably scrutinize their candidate a little more. Idaho Democratic Party Chair Keith Rourke said of the controversy among Republicans, "Loyalty oaths are associated with certainly the darkest time in U.S. history. I'm surprised cooler heads have not prevailed." A second jury has deadlocked in the case of King County Sheriff's Deputy Paul Sheen, who is accused of using unreasonable force when he kicked, grabbed, and punched a 15-year-old girl in a holding cell. The jury that returned its verdict today in the videotaped attack was split 11-1 in favor of acquittal. The previous jury was deadlocked 11-1 in favor of conviction. King County Senior Deputy Prosecutor Gary Ernstorf says he will decide whether to retry Sheen after talking to jurors. 15-year-old Malika Calhoun was being held in a SeaTac City Hall holding cell for allegedly stealing her guardian's car. Sheen took the stand in both trials, saying Calhoun flipped an athletic shoe at him when he stood at the cell door and ordered her to remove her shoes. The 32-year-old Sheen was fired because of the incident, but he is appealing that decision in arbitration. Idaho Fish and Game Commission representatives faced critics at a public meeting in Orofino last night to explain a program to add nutrients to Dwarshak Reservoir that has resulted in one man saying he intends to sue the department and the Army Corps of Engineers. About 40 people, including critic litigant Ron Haynes, attended the meeting, where fish and game biologist Sean Wilson said he wants to reassure the public that the pilot program, now in its fourth year, will not harm the reservoir. A report in the Lewiston Tribune says Wilson told the crowd nitrates have been added to the upper water column each spring and summer in an effort to balance nitrates and phosphates and increase the growth of algae that zooplankton like to eat, and therefore encourage the growth of juvenile fish who feed on the zooplankton. The ultimate goal is to increase the size and number of kokanee. Wilson says the Joint Fish and Game and Army Corps of Engineers project has had modest success since it began in 2007. He said kokanee average an inch longer and are also fatter. Haynes' complaint says he and his family have gotten rashes because the program has led to blue-green algae blooms. Some blue-green algae blooms produce toxins that can harm humans and other mammals. Haynes says the Corps and Fish and Game did not have permits required under the Federal Clean Water Act before adding nutrients to the reservoir. Wilson contends the nutrients should actually reduce blue-green algae blooms. Another critic, Dwarshak National Fish Hatchery biologist Mile Failer, says the added nutrients are linked to the disease IHN, which has been killing juvenile steelhead in the hatchery. Army Corps of Engineers resource manager Paul Spence did not discount the possibility, but said there could be a new strain of IHN. He also said the stress from high levels of dissolved gas in the reservoir could be the cause of the increased levels of IHN disease. Spence said the program was approved by the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the National Marine Fisheries Service, and the Nez Perce Tribe. He said, "It's not like we jumped out and said, this is what we are going to do." Most of the crowd listened quietly last night, and some said they support the program. Bob Regeer said, "We need to do something. If we don't, we are going to lose what we have." Idaho Fish and Game Regional Fish Manager Joe DuPont said the project will be evaluated after the fifth year, which is next year. U.S. Army Corps of Engineers dam operators will begin drawing down Dwarshak Reservoir Tuesday in the annual effort to provide cool water for migrating juvenile fall Chinook salmon and adult steelhead. In a typical year, the reservoir's water level will go down 80 feet by September. Senior National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration scientist Paul Wagner says the drawdown starts after the July 4th holiday in anticipation of warmer weather. Wagner said there is about a 4 to 5 day lag between taking action and getting a reaction. Sockeye salmon appear to be rebounding in the Columbia and Snake Rivers. As of June 24th, 30,690 sockeye had been counted this season at Bonneville Dam, which is the largest number of the fish since record keeping began in 1938. The previous record was just over 27,000 fish counted by the same date in 1955. The Washington Fish and Wildlife Department predicts a record 375,000 sockeye will pass the dam this year. Anglers will be able to catch and keep sockeye salmon on the main stem Columbia River above Priest Rapids Dam and in the Okanagan and Similkameen Rivers beginning today. The most endangered sockeye run in the Snake River has had a big boost this year. Idaho Fish and Game Conservation Hatcheries Supervisor Jeff Heindel says he expects 500 to 1,000 salmon to return over Lower Granite Dam each year for the next few years. Idaho has been releasing 200,000 sockeye smolts every year from hatcheries. Snake River sockeye were listed as endangered under the Endangered Species Act in 1993. President Barack Obama has appointed a Nez Perce tribal member from Kamiyai and University of Idaho student to the National Advisory Council on Indian Education. Mary Jane Oatman Wackwack has served as the first ever Idaho Indian Education Coordinator since 2007. Oatman Wackwack is working on her doctorate of education at the University of Idaho and holds degrees in Justice Studies and Nez Perce Language from Lewis Clark State College. Nez Perce Tribal Chair McCoy Oatman issued a statement yesterday saying, "There is not another person more qualified for this position, as is illustrated by the tremendous amount of hard work she has done not only for Indian education in Idaho, but across the United States." A plan by four north central Idaho counties to build a landfill 5 miles north of Nez Perce has been scrapped. Idaho Waste Services, the company that Nez Perce, Lewis, Idaho, and Clearwater counties want to contract with to build the landfill, has tested the site along Old Highway 7 and found there is less than 2 feet of dirt on the basalt at the 240-acre site. Idaho County Commissioner Skip Brandt said, "On the prairie, there isn't any dirt. You're on basalt. The dirt up there is very minimal, and some farmers' fields have only 6 inches of dirt on the rock." Brandt says Idaho Waste Services needs 6 inches of dirt to cover garbage daily. He says the company will continue its search for a suitable site. Searchers on the National Bison Range in western Montana have found 4 bodies in the wreckage of a small rented plane that crashed Sunday, ending a 2.5-day search. 2 young reporters for the Daily Interlake newspaper based in Kalispell, along with 2 friends, including the pilot, were killed in the crash. The 4 had left on a sightseeing flight in the Piper Arrow Sunday. The plane wreckage was found on a steep, densely wooded hillside about 80 miles south of Kalispell. The 2 reporters were identified as 27-year-old Melissa Weaver and 23-year-old Erica Hofer. Also killed was the pilot, 25-year-old Sonny Kless, and Coeur d'Alene native Brian Williams. Kless, who recently graduated with a law degree from the University of Montana, had had his pilot's license for about a year. Coeur d'Alene police are looking for 2 men seen posting racist flyers on utility poles Tuesday afternoon along U.S. 95 in the city. Police say no hate crime has been committed, but the 2 have violated the city's ordinance against distributing handbills, which is a misdemeanor. The 2 were seen posting the flyers between Niter and Bosanco Avenues. A federal judge has blocked 3 logging projects in the Kootenai National Forest of northwestern Montana. The Alliance for the Wild Rockies filed the lawsuit in January, contending the remaining 45 grizzlies in the Cabinet Yak area, which straddles the Montana-Idaho border, would be harmed because the Forest Service is building or reopening 25 miles of logging roads. Alliance Director Michael Garrity says most grizzly bears are killed because of encounters with humans near roads. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Take a look at the weather. Showers likely tonight, mainly after midnight. Cloudy otherwise, low 47. 60% chance of precipitation. Another 60% chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible in the afternoon tomorrow. Mostly cloudy, high 63. 40% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms before midnight Friday night. Then a slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy, low 46. Mostly sunny Saturday, high near 68. Mostly clear Saturday night, 45 for the low. Mostly sunny 4th of July on Sunday, high 73. Partly cloudy Sunday night, 49 for the low. And clear to mostly clear conditions throughout next week, including a high of 74 Monday, 79 Tuesday, and 84 on Wednesday. And lows will be between 50 and 55. Currently, we have 69 degrees under fair skies in Moscow. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Remember, every edition of the KRFP Evening Report is available on the Radio Free Moscow website. Talk Nation Radio is up next, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. I'm Lee Robartis. This is KRFP Moscow. Have a good night.